Hello?
Hello, Ben.
Okay, let's get started. This is Don. Busy schedule.
Yes, sir. Ben Fulford is the former Asia-Pacific Bureau Chief of Forbes magazine. He now publishes weekly articles at benjaminfulford.net. He has incredible language skills. He speaks English, Japanese, French, Spanish, Italian. Am I missing one?
Well, I only understand Italian and Romanian and stuff like that because they're Romance languages, so they're sort of like dialects. But I also have conversational Chinese.
I thought you spoke Spanish on a podcast. Am I wrong?
Spanish is no problem. I'm fluent in Spanish and French, yes. But Italian and Portuguese and Romanian, I understand them even though I never studied them because they're Romance languages.
Unbelievable. Join in the Highway Diary podcast for the seventh time. It's Ben Fulford. You know, on a personal note, Ben has upgraded my ability to see the good guys and the bad guys, where the battle lines are between the predator class and the useless eaters. He, you know, you got solutions.
Well, you know, that's, I got involved originally because, I wanted to get convince the Japanese to use the $7 trillion they earned by exporting cars and TVs to the rest of the world to fix the planet up. And then they told me they couldn't because they were slave people and so were the people in the West. And so I found myself in a war against this ruling class of, it's an ancient cult of human slavers, you know, whose origins trace back to Babylonia.
You know, I don't know if you know this about me, Ben. I'm like a crow. I find little shiny objects, kind of like a silver dollar on a cobblestone street, you know. I find pieces of conflicting information, and they stick out to me. Sometimes you report things sometimes that are sort of idealistic. You've mentioned the end of the Khazarian Mafia many times over.
We're talking about something that's been going on for thousands of years, and it's sort of like when you're in the Soviet Union during the collapse of the communism. It wasn't an overnight event, you know. It was spread out over many years. We're seeing the same sort of process now, but you know, anybody can tell that we're watching a systems collapse. It's not, at this point, it's undeniable.
You reported something November 9, 2020. In your report, you say, at the same time, Western Secret Society sources say Marine Corps intelligence, Robert David Steele is being considered for president, soon to be founded of the United States of North America. But I've been watching all of Robert David Steele's coverage, and he hasn't said anything about that. What do you say to that?
Okay, it was the Knights of Malta and these other knightly orders that proposed Mr. Steele as the president of the United States of North and South America. It wasn't me. And Mr. Steele, when I asked him, he said he would be interested in doing that with Cynthia McKinney as vice president. But, and here's the big but, He's a loyal soldier, and as long as Donald Trump is the popularly elected president of the United States, he's going to, support Trump. So this is only something he'll do when you actually see the United States collapse, which it hasn't fully done yet.
This is what Robert David Steele has said about the 2020 election.
Which is that after President Trump wins re-election, we're going to see a cultural tsunami in which the Satanists and the pedophiles are exposed.
So that's what he's saying. He's saying Trump's going to win. They're going to get exposed. The deep cabal. Do you agree with this?
I'm not sure. The jury's out because I get conflicting information.
Me too.
And you know, I guess the saying that Trump himself is being Gordon Duff, Veterans Today, who is obvious, obviously works for the Rockefellers. You can tell by what, you know, what he's spewing out on the site. But nonetheless, they cite California court cases and other documents, and they're on the record saying this, that Trump is being blackmailed over some rape and murder of a 12-year-old girl. I'm not saying this is true. What I'm saying is that there are public accusations of this, and if by some chance they happen to be true, then at that point, the U.S. military will have to consider a non-Trump and non-Biden alternative. I'm not saying it's true, but I'm saying that that information is out there, and so the jury's still out. We'll see. We'll know between now and January 20th, I think.
This is what Sidney Powell said, Trump's lawyer said about the situation, but this is what Sidney Powell said. Here we go.
And effectively, what they did with the machine fraud was to, they did everything from injecting massive quantities of votes into the system that they just made up, or running counterfeit ballots through multiple times in multiple batches to create the appearance of votes that weren't really there. One vote, one man, one vote, that's our standard long-held rule, the way, only way it can work in a democratic republic. And instead, if you voted for Biden, you got a 1.25. If you voted for Trump, you got 0.75. And we can see in some of the readouts, that's exactly what happened. You can
so, so you're saying that it's not, they did commit voter fraud, but they're saying, listen, if you call us out on it, we have this other blackmail material? That's what you're saying?
What I'm saying is that these allegations are out there, and, you know, my understanding is that Trump was the designated loser in 2016, and they would have only let him run if they had some sort of blackmail material against him, because that's how it works, you know. And the Gnostic Illuminati, who are fighting against the bloodlines, are, you know, said, we're going to go with Trump anyway, because it's certainly better than Hillary Hitler, you know. And so they went with him. Not sure exactly where it was going to lead. That's my understanding of the situation. But if the American people voted for Trump, and it sure looks like it, and it sure looks like there was huge voter fraud, then the will of the American people has to be obeyed, and people have to rally around Trump, unless and until a situation where, you know, Trump does something that doesn't make sense, you know. That's why people like Mr. Steele say, we got to deal with the current president. He's our, you know, he's the commander-in-chief. We've got to rally around him until and if he becomes incapacitated, you know, either replaced by a body double or acting in ways that don't make sense. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, that's what I'm hearing. It's going to be Trump.
I read a really alarming document that was a DNC think tank called the Transition Integrity Project, or TIP. And they did several war games as far as if Trump gets the Electoral College but not the popular, if Biden gets the Electoral College but and the popular, and all these different war games. And during the exercises, the winning the narrative emerged as potentially decisive factor. Either side can expand or contract the margin of contestation if they succeed in sustainably changing how they, the decision makers and the public, view the facts. That is why they have weaponized social media. And I don't know if you've been on any social media, but all social media does is, you know, the Sidney Powell clip, I got it 2 days ago, then they deleted it from YouTube. So thank God I ripped that clip before it was deleted. But now all the big tech is all united. What do you say to that?
Yeah, I mean, look, there was evidence out there that Mark Zuckerberg, who was a grandson of David Rockefeller, used five different foundations to funnel $500 million through 10 different so-called nonprofit organizations to help finance the election steal. That's out there in the public now. And I've always said that the Rockefellers and these families, they control the Fortune 500 companies through foundations. I've been saying this for years, and here we have a public example. So it's the families that own the Fortune 500 companies that have to be dealt with if this is going to be a victory for the American people.
Mm. You know, I want to point out some things. Now, you know, you say there's a fog of war. Now, I want to say several times in the past you've claimed that it was the Babylonian debt slave system is collapsing. You said that December 7, 2008. May 12, 2010, you wrote a new dollar to replace the U.S. dollar is going to be introduced May 11th. So May 2010. March 2015. There are now many undeniable signs that a historic black swan event is imminent. You know, now November 9, 2020, the ongoing U.S. presidential election is a coup. So every sort of 5 years, you know, and some of my previous guests have been saying, this guy's disinfo. And I'm not sure about that because I think that there's a war going on, right?
All right, look, first of all, you got to remember that as a reporter, I report what people tell me. So if, for example, if I'm doing a story about a divorce, I get what he said, she said, right? There's contradictions. I just have to list what both sides are saying and let the readers or the listeners decide. But in terms of what people have told me, there was a proposal to replace the dollar, for example, with an Amaro. That was out there. And then some American financial types showed up in China with pallets of these shiny Amaros and basically said they wanted to cut their debt in half by having one Amaro, $1 worth two Amaros. And the Chinese told them where to stick it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is that there is a financial system out there already that has been revamped. And it's not controlled by the Americans, and it's quite functional outside of the United States. For example, I go to a local ATM at a convenience store here, and I can use Bitcoin or whatever. You know, it's all there, but it's not in the U.S. because they're still holding out. So you have a very different perspective inside the United States, but there has been a changing of the tide. There's no doubt about it. But like I say, I get people telling me stuff who are, you know, in positions of power, and what they tell me sometimes turns out wrong because it's sort of like World War II. You know, you said people were saying that they'd been Berlin by Christmas, and then there was the Battle of the Bulge, and everything was delayed by 6 months. So it's a similar situation.
You know, and as a journalist, you need, just like a courtroom, two witnesses. Am I wrong? And so you report what two witnesses say, and some people are like, this guy's predicting the same thing for a while. I'm like, well, you know, when I saw that the engineers and architects for 9/11 Truth were holding a grand jury in the Southern District of New York City, I go, oh, they're done. I was thinking, I was at my home, I'm going, they're done. It's over. If this gets out, they're done. But as we saw, the Supreme Court has been playing really interesting games. I just watched a 4-hour interview with the architects and engineers, and they're like, well, yeah, so they said they would have the investigation. We don't have a date yet, you know, 2 years later. Ugh.
Yeah, well, that's why I've said at the end of the day, this is going to have to be settled by men with guns. You know, it's not going to happen by asking them politely or going through their rigged court systems. That's an unfortunate truth that we're all encountering now.
You responded to, you always, on BenjaminFulford.net, you respond to harsh criticism on your blog, you know? And October 27, 2019, you issued an overall correction to these issues. You say, please understand, we're dealing with a hybrid war. To control information to the public is a vital part of that war, just like the Transition Integrity Project said. If we thumb the scale of information, we win.
It's not just information. It's also money, okay? And here's the thing that... let's forget about, for example, all these historical bonds that the United States issued that they can't pay for, getting back to World War II. Let's leave all that historical debt aside. If we just talk about current trade patterns, current, you know, ships full of stuff crossing oceans and, you know, bringing things to the Americans, that can be brought to a stop by the families that control commerce. And, you know, that's what they did in February of this year. All the ships stopped going from Asia to the U.S. West Coast, and things were getting so dire that they were starting to get shortages, and, you know, Walmart was getting ready to start selling secondhand goods. And then suddenly in August, the ports are filled to overflowing with stuff from China, right? And I asked the Dragon family what's going on, and they said, well, you know, we got some real estate. And they said that they offered, you know, Australia and New Zealand and ASEAN and Japan to the Asians, and that's why they started sending stuff again. And of course, the people in Japan and Australia and stuff were never consulted. But these are the sort of aspects of this war that aren't out there enough, that people don't understand, that the actual current flow of commerce and money is controlled by small groups of families, and these are mainly either Asian royalty or European royalty, and then some American nouveau riches like the Rockefellers. That's the level where not enough looking at what's in the corporate media, which is owned and controlled by these families. So unless you're fighting at that level, you're not going to win.
So you're like, they're like, oh, there's not enough toilet paper at Walmart, you know, from coronavirus. I don't know. Give them New Zealand. That's what some royals are doing right now?
Basically, I mean, they're saying, you know, like, if all the flow of commerce, I mean, the United States has got so much debt you know, if it was all cut off, they would have it's already happening. They had a catastrophic fall like the Soviet Union did, and people's standards of living plummeted. And then the families that own the U.S. kind of blinked and said, we'll do whatever you say, and suddenly stuff started flowing again. But what they did was treason to the American people, and they weren't consulted about this. They weren't, you know... Nobody asked the Americans, are you willing to pay twice as much for Chinese trinkets at Walmart in exchange for your independence? Or would you rather have us sell you out and vaccinate you with the RFID chips so that you can keep buying trinkets at Walmart at the same price, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That's not out there.
I want to get to Klaus Schwab later on. One of your friends, David Wilcock, has been also... a big QAnon supporter, and he's said that the mass arrests are imminent, and this is what he has said.
QAnon phenomenon has had over 500 proofs that it is being run by the President of the United States. Trump himself being up there making speeches, leadingly saying the number 17, he's done this a bunch of times, 17 is the 17th letter of the alphabet is Q, okay? Q plus appears to actually be Trump. There's thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of articles in mainstream media saying QAnon is BS. They've attacked it so much. But I was meeting with this woman calling herself MegaAnon, and I put that article out on October 11th, where she was saying that she was working within the inner circle of the President of the United States and that they were trying to do these mass arrests.
They're trying to do mass arrests at the Trump White House. Is that true?
You know, I've been hearing about these mass arrests for more than a decade now. And but I wonder, why is it then that we're still seeing, you know, people like Nancy Pelosi and Mark Zuckerberg out there in public? And my answer seems to be that they replace these people, you know, with lookalikes and with computer graphics. And so it's like a whack-a-mole situation. You arrest a Nancy Pelosi, and then another one appears on TV the next day, you know. And I know this, I actually talked to an assassin working for the Asian secret societies, who said that he personally killed his, what he called, Jewish handler, and a week later, the same guy shows up again.
Hmm. So they
I don't
just...
know what to make of this. But if you look at Joe Biden, for example, if you look at pictures from 20 years ago and from recently, you see, look at the earlobes. You can see that there's at least two Joe Bidens out there.
He's got more hair. I don't know about you, Ben. I keep losing my hair year after year. But in 1992, he was straight bald. Now he's got hair.
Yeah. So we're dealing with some people who, they, for example, Pope Francis, he disappeared for 2 weeks. They had just this obvious hologram appearing at, you know, his window. And then suddenly we have a new Pope Francis telling everybody to wear masks and accept their vaccines. So, you know, we got to take the game to a higher level. And I'm, you know, all the evidence that I have forensically points to Switzerland.
One of your opponents is a guy called Leo Zagami. And before I get into his critique of your work, I want to tell the audience that Leo Zagami ate a baby for Satan. Don't listen to me say that. This is him saying that.
At a certain time, I sold my soul. I hope that God will grant me that I will be forgiven for what I did.
Now, what happens in the Illuminati, by their own instruction, is an ancient practice that was also done by the rabbis, in the most Orthodox rabbis, in since ancient times in Israel. And this is to create a fetus and sacrifices amongst the members of the congregation and eat his fetus.
Did he admit that to you when you saw him?
Yes, he said he'd ate a human fetus. But here's the thing, okay? I don't want to... I've been looking at what Mr. Zagami has been writing recently, and I don't disagree with a lot of it, what he's been saying recently. I mean, when he did come out to meet me, they did try to frame me. They tried to poison me. They did character assassination. They did all sorts of nasty things to me. But right now, these people seem to be saying stuff that I agree with. So I don't know if there's been some kind of change of heart among some of these people or they're just playing. But I don't think that's where the problem lies anymore.
Well, I just want to play this clip. This is what he said. We had a whole podcast about Leo Zagami and the murder that he tried to commit on you. This is one clip I didn't use. This is what I want to play here.
And basically inventing stories of, we're going to arrest everybody tomorrow. The elite is going to be the Khazars, this and that. They will do this and they will do that and blah, blah, blah. It's all rubbish. No consistency.
So, do you have a response?
I think he's right. I mean, we've been hearing about these mass arrests for years and years and years, and yet we still see the same clowns on TV, you know, the same characters. I mean, we did get rid of a lot of them. We got rid of Pope Benedict. We got the Dutch royals. We got all sorts of people out of the way, and that's out there in public. I mean, Brzezinski, Zbigniew Brzezinski, David Rockefeller, a lot of these people are out and gone, but clearly we're dealing with a group that just, you know, you decapitate them and up pops a new head or up pops the same head again. And the other thing is, I don't think even if they arrested all the people in the United States that need to arrest, okay, they still got to deal with the rest of the world. So I think we've underestimated the opposition we're dealing with.
I think so, too. You know, one person I really respect in this information war of thumbing the scale is someone called Whitney Webb. Do you know Whitney Webb?
Not really. Clue me in, please.
She was on. She's lives in Argentina. I think she's the best South American journalist. She was on Tim Dillon's program, and she made me very paranoid because I've been very optimistic about the mass arrest scenario and QAnon. But Whitney Webb told me something totally different that really freaked me out, and this is what she said.
Who do you think QAnon is? If you had to speculate as to who is QAnon or what is QAnon, I mean, we know it's some kind of troll operation at this point, you know? I mean, what do you think it is? Do you think there was any truth to it at any point, or was it always kind of trolling? I mean, it seems to be a bit, you know, it's clearly over the top and ridiculous. They also, you know, it's kind of like, you know, they keep stringing these desperate people along that there's going to be some big event coming and nothing can stop what's happening and everyone's going to jail and just you wait and see and trust the plan and everything like that. What do you think this is?
I think it's a U.S. driven intelligence psyop, and I think basically the target of it is to have a demographic that would normally be most vocal against perceived government tyranny, people on the right, gun owners, things like that, basically to have them completely docile, sitting there being like, yeah, we'll just trust the plan and it'll all work out. And even in some cases, you've had QAnon cheer on regime change in Iran, war with Iran, martial law being declared, things like that, when these people before would have opposed those things. And it's worth pointing out that really the roadmap for QAnon was originally developed by an Obama advisor named Cass Sunstein, who now is advising the World Health Organization about its vaccine, global vaccine agenda for COVID-19. But Cass Sunstein, during the Obama administration, he wrote about the need for the government to infiltrate conspiracy movements in order to reverse the general trend of conspiracy movements fostering a distrust in the government and to instead foster a love and trust of government. So then you have QAnon pop up and it's, oh, we love Trump, we love the president, we love John Bolton, we love Sessions and all of these people who were obvious establishment swamp monsters, to use, you know, Trump vernacular or whatever. You know, put all your faith in people like that. When John Bolton is like the most insane, you know, like crazy neocon guy, and you're going to put your trust in him that he's going to end the wars, you know?
It's so amazing to watch these guys.
So what do you think? Is QAnon a psyop to disenfranchise people?
I think that they mean well and they want to get the bad guys, but they're being misdirected to a certain extent. And I know that everybody's still hoping Trump's going to do the thing that, you know, do what needs to be done. But let's face it, when he was a candidate, he said, if I am elected president, you'll find out who did 911. Well, that didn't happen. And he kind of kowtows to the Zionists in Israel in a kind of a shameful way. So, you know, I think we're going to need a real revolution here, not a half-assed thing, and it's probably going to end up at that level. And I do talk to actual people in organizations like the CIA, MI6, FSB, not, you know, stuff I read on the internet. I actually talk to these people, and there is a consensus that we need a genuine regime change, and it has to start at the highest levels. The battle is ongoing. But, you know, QAnon is sort of like, they're on target, I would say, about 70%, but they're missing about 30%, is my best guess.
Well, Whitney Webb has a different opinion. She says that it's controlled opposition. It's a Sunstein...
sure, controlled opposition. They still have to oppose to a certain extent. So it's sort of like, you know... go after a few henchmen, but avoid the puppet masters type of thing. Yeah, so I agree with her.
Okay, well...
they are going after some henchmen. You know, they can't avoid that. I mean, they can control the opposition, but they can't stop it. So they try to redirect it, but it's still opposition. You see what I mean?
Mm-hmm. I just want to say she said a very specific thing. Cass Sunstein. Cass Sunstein is behind QAnon. I want to play a clip. Now, I spent so many hours of research to give you this clip. He's the most boring person in the world, Cass Sunstein. But I found a clip that sums up who he is and what he's all about.
Prime Minister Cameron in the UK had an early initiative to reduce tax delinquency in the UK, by which, and this was tested empirically, letters were sent to delinquent taxpayers notifying them that they were in a small group of people in their community who weren't paying their taxes on time. And that upped tax compliance quite significantly.
So he's a consultant. When people don't pay their taxes, he goes, send them a letter lying and saying, oh, your neighbors pay your taxes. You don't pay your taxes. Don't you want to keep up with the Joneses? So this is kind of some think tank guy. And Whitney Webb is making an alarming claim that this guy, he's going, oh, well, you don't want to be a patriot? You could be a patriot by arresting everybody. That's kind of alarming how deep this goes, if that's true.
You know, there is a very powerful vested interest among people who benefit from the current system to keep it going. I mean, they're the ones, don't forget, they control the money where they can create, you know, trillions of dollars out of thin air and do things like jack up the price of Tesla stock and give enormous power and wealth to chosen individuals. And so the people who have their hands on this magic money machine are not going to go quietly into the night. And we see that repeatedly. So, yeah, I mean, this person you're referring to, he's one of their senior enforcers or henchmen. But like I say, we've got to go after the families that actually own the Fortune 500 corporations. It's not going to end until we take it to that level.
You know, I looked up Castanstini. He teaches law at Harvard, but all he is into is behavior modification, which seems more of a psychology thing, which kind of...
They've been managing human sheeple for thousands of years. We must not underestimate these people. Their weakness is that the power is highly concentrated in a very small group, and that's where we got to focus our efforts. I said that right from day one. You know, if you go after their men in black, you'll suffer the fate of peasants with pitchforks against mercenaries with steel. You have to go for the eye of the pyramid. Nothing else is going to work.
Cass Sunstein is trying to nudge people towards the vaccine agenda. He works for the WHO. He's created the social credit score in China. He wants to create a social credit tax on conspiracy theories. So you're getting taxed for conspiracy theories under Cass Sunstein. You're taxed for your beliefs and you're traced by your cell phone. I'm waiting for the Great Reset. I'm broke, and like every month, it's a struggle. Ben, you know, it's a struggle for Uncle Eric to pay all of his bills. You know, I tell dick jokes and dive bars. I'm trying to pay my rent, my car payment, you know. I'm waiting for a jubilee that you've been sort of saying. But then I'm alarmed when Dr. Rashid Butler goes on the Tinfoil Hat podcast with Sam Tripoli, and he says what the jubilee is going to look like. And frankly, I don't like what Dr. Rashid Buttar said.
They're just doing it to cull humans. That's what it appears. They're going to have... They're going to forgive everybody their debts. The report that I got was they're going to forgive. They're going to have a world debt forgiveness program. And in order to participate in this world debt forgiveness program, there are a couple of criteria. Now, I've actually heard about this world debt forgiveness program for the last year. I've been hearing people talk about it. In social circles, people talk about how it's going to be great. It's going to be this. It's going to be that. But, you know, if you tell a child in a classroom, child A something, you whisper in the ear, and then A tells B something. By the time it gets to C, it's a totally different story. So this world debt forgiveness program that's going to be funded by the World Monetary Fund, I guess, is supposed to be a good thing, and they're going to pay.
They're going to pay everybody their rent, but they got to get this vaccine, and it might kill a lot of them. That's what Dr. Rashid Butler said.
That's what they're trying to do. It's like, you know, when they had all these anti-war protests in the Vietnam War, they sort of soft-pedaled, they kind of retreated a bit, you know, and until people calmed down again. So this is their attempt at controlling the idea of a jubilee so that they stay in power and they stay in control. And that's definitely the World Economic Forum, Davos people, probably headed by a mysterious Egyptian pharaonic group known as the Octagon Group. And they're trying to stay in power And that means, you know, sometimes you have to give extra food rations to the sheeple to calm them down. And that's what they're trying to do. So we don't support that kind of jubilee. And we believe that the system of creating and distributing money should be a public utility that's transparently run by the people and for the people. And that's not what they're talking about. They're still talking about, you know, a secret control group that will stay in power by, you know, trying to appease the sheep a little bit, while at the same time carefully killing the ringleaders, you know, behind the scenes. That's what they're trying to do right now. Like I say, these people have been running us for thousands of years. This is not an easy battle we're involved in.
Well, one thing that makes me less optimistic about the Great Reset that the World Economic Forum is planning for us is something that Charlie Robinson said on Sean Atwood's program.
My research has kind of taken me, ironically, is off of Ghislaine Maxwell and more onto Isabel Maxwell, because what we've been seeing lately is this push for the world, the Great Reset by the World Economic Forum and this Fourth Industrial Revolution. And I've been on your show before. We talked about it a little bit, but the person that is involved in the technology component of the Fourth Industrial Revolution, a high-ranking person there, is Isabel Maxwell. So if people are unsure about this Great Reset or who are these World Economic Forum people and can we trust them, the short answer is, well, they've got Isabel Maxwell running a component of it. So if that answers part of your question.
So what do you think? Isabel Maxwell? Is she the best person to run the Great Reset?
I've been telling the U.S. Special Forces and other people that, and the Russians, everybody else, that they need to send Special Forces into Switzerland, into Zug. You need to take over the BIS. You need to physically occupy this area, or it's going to continue. When I went to Italy to meet the P2 Freemasons, who told me they controlled the Mafia and the Vatican, they said that they took their orders from Switzerland. So, you know, and so did the Japanese military intelligence when they first got involved in this stuff. They pointed to Switzerland. NSA has told me that even Xi Jinping has run out of Switzerland. So, you know, we've got to focus on the real core of the problem and not get distracted by red herrings.
Santa Klaus Schwab is kind of revealed himself to be the great emperor of this whole Great Reset, and he said some really creepy things. Let's listen to what Klaus Schwab has said.
This revolution will come at a breathtaking speed. It will be like a tsunami. And actually, it's not just a digital revolution. It's digital, of course, physical, it's nanotechnology, but it's also biological.
Wait, nanotechnology? What is Klaus Schwab saying about nanotechnology?
You know, I had South African secret police and former Rhodesian secret police, two different people located in two different continents, who were both involved in these white minority governments in that area. And way back in the 1980s, they were using electromagnetic energy, what they call 5G now, and they were able to either incite mobs into violence or calm them down using electromagnetic waves, okay? And they have, you know, and I released on my homepage that as early as 2006, Hitachi, the Japanese electronics company, had RFID chips. You know, these are microchips that you can access through electromagnetic spectrum, you know, in radio frequency waves, basically radio frequency identification chips that were small enough to be injected into people. And I have heard, yeah, from people who actually make this stuff, that they can inject it into people and they can use that to manipulate minds. And they are definitely trying to do that to stay in power. This is not paranoid conspiracy stuff. This is provable in a court of law, and these people are trying to do that in order to stay in power. It's definitely a battle that we have to fight. And when they're coming at you and your family with a needle for a fake, provably fake pandemic, that is a line that they've crossed that they must not cross. So, you know, as far as I'm concerned, they've crossed the line in the sand, and you know, violence is the only answer until we get complete and total surrender.
So you mentioned before that we can't have trinkets in Walmart. So, you know, some European elite sold the Chinese, you know, New Zealand, Australia. One of the things they have, I know on the back of my Social Security card, I have a Social Security card. On the back of it is a red number that Gordon Maxwell, I think his name is, told me long ago that that was my, you know, slave number for Wall Street speculators. Allison McDowell went on the Higher Side chats to do with this nanotechnology, and she said that the slavery, not just the prison labor, but all humans of America are going to be blockchain slaves in this financial tyranny of financial sort of transactions between America and China if Joe Biden's elected. I just want to play Allison McDowell's research here.
So these markets were, one of them is in pre-K, as I mentioned before, the Salt Lake City bond. The other key concept that it's important to understand is something called blockchain identity, or a decentralized identity system. And that is what is coming with the ID 2020 initiative and the biometric health passports. Because what I was saying about the cost offsets is essentially to play this game that they've created and to justify essentially using predictive analytics to profile people into, if not pre-crime, pre-burden, pre-social burden, to enable the profits for JP Morgan Chase and Goldman Sachs and Citigroup and UBS Bank, among others, and the Vatican. But in order to make that happen, all of the data has to live in a big pool.
Do you have a response to that? Is that what you're hearing?
Absolutely. I mean, I had, for example, the Russian, my Russian FSB source, she runs a company that provides, you know, security for the oligarchs, the people who run Russia. And we're not talking about the fake Putin and stuff. We're talking about the real people. And, you know, she said that they're in Africa right now, giving everybody free cell phones with free electronic money just so they can get the data, so they can bring Africa under control. You know, this is from a primary source. And here in Japan, they are trying to impose this My Number system, which the Japanese people have successfully resisted. But it was the same. They wanted a Mark of the Beast number. So each person, if you had an RFID chip injected into you, it would have a unique identification number that only would be in your RFID chip in your body. And then they could, at a distance, access all the data about you and, if necessary, use the electromagnetic waves to alter your behavior. This is what these people are aiming for, and this is what we're fighting against.
So
I don't want to lose my free will, and I'm not going to. I'll fight to the death rather than become a slave.
Electronic from a distance freedom from JP Morgan Chase. You know, I don't like the bankers. I'll tell you this, Ben Fulford. Let's have a little levity here. I you know, I'm a stand-up comedian, but I have a idea on how to back up our currency. If we don't have gold in Fort Knox, how should we back up our currency? This is my idea.
I think that the economy is about to crash. I don't know about you guys. I think that this whole system is fucking rigged.
It just seems to me that our money is based on a bunch of bullshit. You know, it used to be redeemable for silver, but now it just says a Federal Reserve note. It's a bunch of bullshit. I think dollars, currency, should be based on blowjobs. Then it would never lose value. That's a hard asset. You know what I mean?
Let me just give you an example. Like, Bernie Madoff could not have a Ponzi scheme if a currency is based on blowjobs, you know? You'd be like, that's hilarious. Okay, this account says you owe me 7.8 million blowjobs, Bernie, so get sucking. Put your money where your mouth is, banker. You know what I mean? We gotta keep the bankers honest. You can't derivative financial swap these nuts.
You know what I'm saying, Ben Fulford? It's like they have no skin.
Well, you know, aside, everybody does have an internal financial system. So, for example, if you and your girlfriend, you keep tabs on what favors you do for each other, right? So, obviously, if you're going to get a blowjob, for example, you're going to have to earn it some other way, you know, maybe washing dishes or something, you know what I mean? That's how it works in a real-world system. We all have an internal accounting system where we keep track of who's bought more dinners than the other person and who's washed more dishes, and that is really the basis of the financial system at the individual level. So yeah, it's real things like silver, jugs of milk, but it's also things like, you know, shoulder massages and stuff. We all have this system, and that's what it really should be, the ultimate basis.
I always vacuum the stairs. I'll tell you this, when I got a girlfriend living in, I'm vacuuming the stairs. That's a hard job. That takes, 15 minutes with a vacuum over your head. That's a real economy.
Well, without women, human beings would be extinct. So my view is we have to treat women as goddesses and do what they say,
I agree with you. Okay, I have one more question. Do you have any thing that you want to say?
I'll leave it towards the end. Just go on.
Okay. One thing I just want to ask you directly. You've said that Neil Keenan is dead. Neil Keenan, the previous M1, the guy who was going around Indonesia, the Philippines, trying to find this gold from JFK, from the Green-Hilton Agreement or whatever. Neil Keenan, the head guy, You said he was dead. But he spoke on YouTube October 28th, 2020. I'm going to play his clip, and then I want your response.
I mean, the Dragon family, the Golden Dragon family, has often, on numerous occasions, and you've used it. The United States has used, they've used their funds without asking even, which is par for the course, because it's not a government, it's a corporation, and they're not paying attention. Because there's nothing the Golden Dragon family can do. They think. There's lots to do. There's lots. It's going to be a new world soon. There's going to be different things taking place. And the Indonesians will be happy with what happens. Asia will be happy with what happens. And the West will be at a loss. I don't mean the people. I mean the government. Or the powers that be, that have been, who have literally done nothing for the people.
So who is that guy if Neil Keenan is dead?
All right. Here's the thing. This is an era where their computer graphics can make anybody seem alive, right? So here's what I know about Neil Keenan. Remember back in 2009, I think two Japanese were arrested in Chiasso, Italy, with $134 billion worth of bombs? And Mr. Watanabe and a Mr. Yamaguchi. Mr. Yamaguchi and I have met in person. I met Mr. Watanabe too, okay? I know these people face to face. And Yamaguchi showed me pictures, analog pictures of him with Neil Keenan and a bunch of bombs. And his father or his uncle was very helpful for the keeping the Japanese emperor safe at the end of World War II. So there was a real Neil Keenan, and we used to be in daily contact. Then I got word from a member of the Dragon family that he had been killed. And after that, another Neil Keenan appeared who suddenly had this huge growth on his arm, which the real Neil Keenan didn't. And he started trying to sell people these, healing computers, and it was obviously a case of identity theft. And I've since, tried to get anyone to confirm that Neil Keenan's around. For example, someone in the CIA who's completely fluent in Indonesia, has been there 20 years, said there's no record of him visiting Indonesia. So these people, they not only do they kill people, they then steal their identities. The same thing happened to Jane Burgermeister, who exposed that they were putting bird flu in vaccines and started court cases. She was killed, and her colleagues came and said that she was killed, and then someone popped up assuming her identity. and saying a totally different, saying totally different things. That's why I want people to watch carefully Donald Trump to make sure it's still the real man and they haven't replaced him with somebody who suddenly says, oh yeah, actually Joe Biden won and we're just going to have to roll over. You know what I mean? So it's very important to have genuine human contacts. So, for example, you, Mr. Hollenbeck, I haven't met you, but you have sent me by snail mail physical stuff that confirms you exist. We need that in these days in order to, you know, fight this, basically, an artificial intelligence. I mean, and that can create people on computer screens that look as real as possible, you know, and only slightly alter what they say just to insert the little bit of disinfo they need us to swallow. Mm. So we have to be very careful. And at this point, like I said, the Russian FSB thinks that we're going to have to temporarily shut down both the internet and the wireless networks in order to cripple this AI before we can liberate humanity. That's not me saying it. I'm telling you what I'm hearing from the Russian FSB, and they might be right.
A 10-day shutdown?
Something like that. So people can focus on what's real, you know, their family, their pets, their local grocery store, you know, and not some abstract battle on the internet between China and the U.S. or whatever, you know what I mean? Get back to reality. We need that very badly right now.
You just mentioned that you contacted someone in the FBI, the CIA, you know, asking about someone's, Neil Keenan's whereabouts. You know, your language skills are unbelievable. You know, I speak English. I was an exchange student to Germany. I trained it for 4 years. I barely speak German. You're very intelligent. You know, a lot of people have said that you're some kind of CIA asset. You speak, I don't know, 7 languages. What would you respond? How would you respond to this?
Well, first of all, okay, let me tell you about languages. Languages are like martial arts. You don't learn them by reading books. You actually have to go and practiced it. So it's like building neural networks in your brain. And once you learn your first foreign language, then the second one is easier and the third one's easier than that. It's just a question of, you know, actually immersing yourself where you have to use that language. There are a lot of people out there who speak lots of languages. I'm not particularly unique in that aspect.
The other thing is,
all need to be humble and concentrate on the greater good. You know, that's why I really don't like being flattered. I prefer to focus on, you know, saving the planet and doing the greater good. And if we succeed, then sure, we can be rewarded. But it's about saving the planet. It's not about, you know, enriching ourselves. We all have to have that attitude if we're going to get through this with victory for the human race. Mm.
You did ayahuasca at 19 in Peru, you know.
17.
How did that change your life? Because I see that you're so focused on the only story you follow is the liberation of the planet. Is that where that started?
It started before that. When I was a kid, I mean, in Mexico, I saw these poor, starving kids and these mangy dogs, and I think, why is that allowed to exist, you know? But the thing about going to the Amazon was that I wanted to escape from civilization. It's just like a fish does not know water exists until it jumps, right? So I figured in order to study civilization, I need to get out of it. So when I get out of it and I'm in the Amazon, what we see is this giant monster that's destroying the forest, you know, leaving behind shanty towns in its wake, ruining people's living standards, and it's like this incredible, all-consuming monster that's destroying the planet. And that's what the perspective I got by getting out of civilization and living in the nature. But then I realized that, you know, you couldn't escape. You had to go in there and fight to turn civilization around, to make it something that's beneficial for the planet, not harmful to the planet. But I think being in the nature and realizing that it was being destroyed by civilization was, you know, the key for me deciding to fight this battle I'm fighting together with all the rest of us.
Because you were living in harmony with nature, and you realize if you just listen to what it wants, you can have a mutually beneficial relationship. You know, I always, when I'm with a girl, I vacuum the stairs. Let me say this. I make sure, you know, I'm in good balance with my surroundings.
Yeah, I mean, it's really, it's about, you don't want to kill the goose that lays the golden eggs. And that's the natural world. That's what created us, and that's what keeps us alive, and we need to be good stewards of the planet, and we haven't been.
Any predictions coming up? What do you see is going on for us?
My sources are telling me that between January and March of 2021 is going to be very, very crucial, and everybody needs to do what they personally can. We don't need armchair warriors. It doesn't have to be a big thing. If it's, you know, it could just be whatever you can do locally, but everybody needs to get active. We're going to win this war, but it's not going to happen if we all sit back in our couches and just watch our screens. Okay, thanks for having me on. But we're, you know, there's a lot more going on. I'll be talking with the Dragon Family people tonight, and I do keep in touch with all sorts of people representing powerful groups, including the British Commonwealth, the Russian FSB, the CIA, the Pentagon, the Asian secret societies, and there are very powerful people who all have a common interest in saving the planet, and we're going to make it happen. I guarantee you.
Thanks,
Ben. So, you know, liberty or death. That's my view now. Thanks for having me on.
He runs BenjaminFulford.net. He's a former Asia-Pacific Bureau Chief of Forbes magazine. There he goes. Thanks a lot, Ben. Take care from Tokyo. This has been episode 282 of Highway Diary with my guest Ben Fulford. I would urge you to go to erichollerbach.com. Check out my dirty stand-up specials. The first one is Conspiracies and Dick Jokes. The second one is Fart Porn in Beer Halls. The third one is It's a Medical Device. You know, quarantine's got you down. Watch my free dirty specials on YouTube. Always a pleasure to talk to Ben Fulford. What are you doing, America? What are you doing? I know you come to podcasts for answers. I have too. But we all have to stop what's happening together. We all have to stop the billionaire class from injecting us with nanotechnology, controlling our whereabouts from a distance with supercomputers. Changing our moods with directed energy weapons and find out what you want in this planet. You know, if what you're after is not part of your will, if it's being injected to you and implanted on you, you gotta fight back. This is Highway Diary episode 282. Later, everybody.